time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning News Radio here on WTZQ with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning, Bill Moss. Nice to have you back on the radio with us this morning, sir.
Good morning, Mark Warwick. Thank you for inviting us back after a one-week hiatus. We are certainly glad to be back and humbled and honored to be in the presence of newly anointed media empire kings and king and queen of the county, Mark and Paige, the owners of WTZQ Radio.
Oh,
congratulations.
Thank you very much, Bill. Yes, now a new media empire. Thank you, my friend. And while we're congratulating Bill, let's do the same for you again. We talked about this last week, but let's congratulate the Hendersonville Lightning again on numerous awards from the North Carolina Press Association. Is that what it is?
It is the 160 member North Carolina Press Association. Yeah, we were honored and humbled ourselves to win those awards, including for HendersonvilleLightning.com, judged to be the best website in the state in our circulation category.
Well, it doesn't surprise, and again, congratulations on those very well deserved awards, Bill. So let's get to the news, because that's what you do best besides collecting awards. News for Henderson County is exactly what the Lightning is all about. And let's talk about that. The Lightning is on the street. It is in your mailboxes and it is now on the radio. Let's talk about the front page here, Bill. Gun ranges. Interesting. Back on the topic. Zoning board upholds decision that permits backyard gun range. What's that all about, Bill?
It's all about a topic that never fails to produce an emotionally charged, well-attended public hearing. So this particular case is unlike the Dana. You remember the Dana shooting range? Gosh, that one's close to 10 years ago, I think, that went on for three or four or five different nights of the Zoning Board of Adjustment and finally failed. This is much smaller than that. This is much smaller than the, I think, at last and now final count, I'm sure, of the number of times that former Sheriff Charlie McDonald tried to site a training center that was everyone believed would have a good amount of target shooting of all kinds of weapons, always provokes a fair amount of opposition. But in this case, there was far more support, because this was a way different animal of a shooting range. It's a backyard shooting range with a berm, which is really a good solid pile of dirt, that backyard shooters or rural out in the country shooters use as a backstop. You can shoot on the on your property in most zoning districts in Henderson County, providing you do nothing to allow that ammunition, allow those bullets to leave your property line and go to another an adjoining property and endanger people. So there was a 3.5-hour hearing. This is Zoning Board of Adjustment. It's called a quasi-judicial setting where witnesses are sworn. They're supposed to have some sort of standing. That is, they believe their property value might be affected negatively. They believe that this use is something that they, on the other hand, that this use is something that the law allows them to have on their property, and it is not damaging to their neighbors. So we had both sides of that very well laid out. It was lawyered on both sides. So both sides were well covered by the lawyers, by the witnesses. And it was an odd setting, too, because, as we said, the 45 people were spread far apart out in Thomas Auditorium there at Blue Ridge Community College, and had been greeted at the entrance of the hall by 10 Kevlar-clad sheriff's deputies who were just being very, very careful who remained on watch to make sure that the four-hour meeting was to ensure order during the meeting. And there was some emotional testimony to be sure, but there was no threats or anything. But in the end, the Zoning Board of Adjustment ruled unanimously that the backyard range on at the time, and still right now vacant, although they have a house going up, made by Travis Rector, the landowner, and his wife, Virginia Fox Jenny Rector, off Osprey Lane, just north of Point Lookout Vineyards in Eddyville. They said that does not have, that is not an operation that we, Henderson County, and this was the decision back in September by the Henderson County Zoning Administrator. Yeah. That operation is not a business that we would regulate. So no, it does not need a special use permit. And so the appellants of that decision, which was, I think, four other homeowners nearby to hear gunshots when they occasionally have target practice at this gun range. So they lost their appeal of Toby Linville's decision that, nope, in Henderson County, we don't regulate backyard gun ranges. That's the gist of the decision and the whole meeting.
Oh, are you there, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So help clear something up for me here. Did that then end up having the Board of Commissioners, doing some sort of a definition or whatever of a backyard gun range?
Yes, thank you. You read my mind. It did indeed. Not 48 hours later, the Henderson County Commissioner Michael Edney, at the top of the meeting on Wednesday morning of the Henderson County Board of Commissioners, said, I've got a topic I need to add to the agenda, and that is the situation of shooting ranges in our county and how we regulate those. And specifically, Michael Edney, day job lawyer, recognized, had either seen our coverage or knew about this situation of really a lack of clarity of a definition of a shooting range. And that is, it wasn't both sides pretty much conceded, but especially those appealing Toby Linville's decision that if you're saying you don't regulate backyard gun ranges, that's really unclear in your land development code. And Michael Edney thinks it's unclear enough to really get to be scrutinized closely by the planning board, which will make a recommendation for, I think it'll be a zoning text amendment going back to the county commissioners. And because here's what Toby Linville said, and then we'll get to Edney. Although the definition of a shooting range is vague in the LDC, Land Development Code, it is not Henderson County's position to regulate small backyard shooting ranges as if they were public businesses. And that is the language that Toby Linville used when he denied these homeowners' requests that they basically shut down the gun range last September. Huh. Michael, he brings it up at the county commission meeting and says, we need to amend the ordinance to better define what we're talking about and what our intentions are. And then Michael Edney went on to say just a little while later that he and County Attorney Russ Burrell had drafted a fix for the language in the Land Development Code as a starting point for the planning board to take a look at. So you might call that step one. Step two would be the planning board taking a look and responding to the county commission's direction that they come up with exactly what this language should be, and then that'll come back to the Board of Commissioners. Everything will get, particularly county commissioners, that will get a hearing before anything is changed. So, and one last tiny part of it is, apparently I need to get a copy and let you and readers and listeners know exactly what this proposed language is. But apparently it said, the draft language said that homeowners shall post no trespassing signs when they're shooting on their property. And Commissioner David Hill spoke up and said, well, that sounds burdensome. We're not going to want that. And so Edney seemed to retreat from that right off the bat and say, okay, we'll make it May. They may put up something. More to come, but we'll bird dog that. I don't think that'll take long to make that fix, and we'll bird dog that as it comes along.
Okay. Bill, I'm really excited about this next topic we're about to talk about. This is something that I saw on your website yesterday at HendersonvilleLightning.com yesterday. Wondered about it and was looking forward to talking with you about it today. COVID relief dollars coming to not just Western North Carolina, but apparently a whole lot of dollars coming to Henderson County. Tell us about this story and where this is going to lead.
I can tell you about the story where it stands right now.
Yep.
Where it's going to lead is a little bit of an upcoming chapter for a couple of reasons. But we described it, and I think it was received this way by county commissioners and pretty soon all elected officials and administrators across the county, that the Henderson County and our five towns are in line to get a jaw-dropping, wait for it, $33 million in COVID relief money from this American Recovery Act that was passed by one vote.
Wow.
Last week, and I think it may have been one vote or maybe one or two in the Congress, and we know it was 50-49 in the Senate. Ranging from $680,000 to $4.1 million for the town. So let's just get to the actual numbers here are that Henderson County, the county is projected to receive, okay, we got $33 million. The county is projected to receive $22.7 million from the COVID Recovery Act. Here are your other numbers. Flat Rock, Little Flat Rock, although that's not the littlest. Flat Rock is $990,000, almost $1 million for Little Flat Rock. The village, Fletcher, is $2.5 million basically. Hendersonville is $4.14 million. Laurel Park is $680,000 coming in at the smaller amount. And Mills River is $2.2 million. Asheville is getting a big amount, of course. Buncombe County will get $50.5 million. Madison County, $4.2 million. Transylvania County, $6.67 million. So when this, when Megan Powell, a budget analyst for Henderson County, reported this number yesterday morning to the Henderson County Board of Commissions, the response of the chairman, Bill Lapsey, was, would you say that number again?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so a somewhat a brief, really, but lively discussion ensued about, the federal government is broke. This isn't real money. We're going to have to pay it back. Maybe we should just turn that down. I don't think that'll be the decision in the end.
Right.
That the county will turn down the money and say, no, we'll pass on $22 million. But it really raises, as you did right there at the top of the question, a question of how this will be spent. I mean, when you think about that, that's about the budget's about in the county is let's say $160 million. So what is this? You know, it's a good 15% or so. You know, 12-15%. And you're going to have to use it for something COVID related. But it does suggest to me that the county commission and the towns ought to be able to find a way not to raise taxes for a while. That's one of the things I think taxpayers might be looking like if they do try to raise taxes anytime in the next couple years or so. They're going to cause an uproar of people saying, well, what'd you do with the $22 million that Congress gave you?
Right.
But just to bring it in for a landing, because we don't know details. And Megan Powell reported that we really can't tell you, except we know it's probably going to have to be COVID related. It's possible it could be some form of, quote, infrastructure related. But we won't know until we get guidance and specifics from the U.S. Department of Treasury. So that's really, if you want to know where does that answer lie right now, it's. U.S. Department of Treasury drawing up those guidelines and sending them to states and counties and cities.
Wow. I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of this story, because I'm trying to figure out what in the world the village of Flat Rock is going to do with $990,000. That and then the entire county with all of those dollars. That's very, very interesting, Bill.
Well, you bring up a good point there, because actually it was the village. If they can't prove now, or find some projects, if they can't prove they either spent that amount of money on COVID-related projects, relief, help for their citizens or businesses or whatever, then there's a possibility they won't be able to accept that full amount. And I think the Village of Flat Rock is an example of one town that in the, I think it was the CARES Act, the one close to a year ago now, that sent the village some money that the village could not use. I can't remember if it was all of or couldn't use at all because it really didn't have those expenses. So that would be, now I kind of have a feeling when I heard that word infrastructure that there would be a way, there may be a way for, of course, Henderson County and all of our towns to say, well, we got this nice, this road project or this sidewalk we want to put in that fits there. I don't know how broad that's going to be, Mark. And you're right. That is the question that we have to keep hounding at now.
Well, it will be interesting to follow that and follow those dollars and see what happens. You're listening to Lightning Radio here on The Cue with Bill Moss, Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Coming up, asphalt plant back in the news, Morris Broadband purchase, Main Street Award for Hendersonville, and more here on Lightning Radio on WTZQ.
Happy fall from Kaysen Oil Company. Fuel prices have dropped, so now is the time to get your oil before the cold weather is here. Schedule your delivery today by calling 693-0246. Family owned and operated, Kaysen Oil Company, serving our community for over 40 years.
We're back with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com for Lightning Radio. Bill, the asphalt plant is back in the news, just like we knew it was once they pulled it off the shelves for a bit, but they said, we would be coming back, and it's back in the news.
Yeah, exactly right, Mark. They used the phrase they were withdrawing that application, had to do with whether they could get some toxicology testimony in the way they wanted to. They couldn't. So the attorney, Brian Golden, who actually is the same attorney that represented those homeowners opposing the gun range, he's big on zoning cases. Jeff Shipman's attorney, Southeastern Asphalt's attorney, Brian Golden, said at the time they were withdrawing the application. At this time, the time has now come again. So basically, remember everything, Mark, we went through last June through December. We are going to go through again. It looks like from March through September, November, October, November timeframe, maybe. The main things people need to know about to participate is a neighborhood compatibility meeting, will be held at 4 p.m. Tuesday, March 30th at East Henderson High School Auditorium. Some of the gathering rules are starting to ease up a little bit, so I believe that'll be an opportunity within limits to attend in person. A technical review committee, I'm not sure if this is in person, I think it probably would be Zoomed. That is when county engineers, zoning enforcement officials, water quality folks, NCDOT, and so forth, review applications like that. Takes place 2 p.m. Tuesday, April 6th. A planning board meeting, which will include a public hearing, would be held if it survives this long, and no reason to think it won't. That would be held at 5:30 p.m. Thursday, April 15th, also at East Henderson High School Auditorium. So, a Board of Commissioners meeting that, of course, would have the final authority to say yes or no has not been set.
Okay. Let's touch on something else that I think is pretty big news. Morris Broadband. Morris Broadband has been a very good friend of our community for numerous years, supporting many different things in our community. Morris Broadband is now being purchased. Talk to us about that story, Bill.
Yeah, we're going swinging back into the media empire here. And it's exactly as you say, Mark. It not only has Morris Broadband been a good corporate citizen and sponsoring different things, putting their names on a lot of worthy projects here in the town. If you can remember the customer service of Mediacom and all the uproar about Mediacom, which was not a very good, much of a corporate citizen, and when it came to customer service, was nothing to be proud of at all. Morris Broadband, I mean, you might be put on hold. You can reach a human being at Morris Broadband.
Right.
Morris Broadband you can go walk into that office and get a new a clicker for your TV, or you can go get a new cable box. So I'm not here to shield for Morse Broadband or Altice USA or anything else. But the first thing I did when I saw it was say, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Because if you know what you got and then what you're getting is an unknown, then you worry. So, but I've actually got more follow-up on this, Mark, that didn't make it in the print issue, where I posed those questions about what about your customer service? What about locally based? Altice calls itself one of the largest cable providers. It's based not in Savannah, Georgia, like the Morris family was, but in Long Island, New York. So we don't know everything. It hadn't even closed yet, but there's no reason to think it won't close in the second quarter of this year. So we'll see more, and I'll have more to report on what Altice says they intend to do in terms of customer service. And just for personal reason, I had to be in the office this week, and of course I had to call support one time. And in both cases, I asked, "Well, are y'all going to stick around?" And they said, "Yeah, as far as we know, we're going to stick in it." And that is support folks or counter people at the actual office there on South Grove. So, brace for the worst, as always, but hope for the best in this case.
Yeah, that's one thing I've always enjoyed about Morris Broadband. You know, when you call, their customer service center is right over here on South Grove Street. You know, I've called before, yeah. And someone answered the phone that I knew personally. So,
all of them are pretty knowledgeable, but sometimes you get some that are really technically very good and are really able to walk you through problem you're having with your cable TV, your modem, your box, your clicker, whatever.
Yep, absolutely. So I look forward to hearing more on that story. And of course, it's New York based Altice. Is purchasing our very own Morris Broadband here. Main Street, our downtown, again, speaking of awards, our Hendersonville Lightning got many, many awards this past, we talked about this past week, and now our downtown has gotten a Main Street Award. Tell us about that story, Bill.
Yeah, this is something also to be proud of, and we wanted to dig up a foul photo, and we did, and we were reminded. I didn't realize this how quickly this happened, but I think the foul photo came from March of 2020. So when you think about it, the city of Hendersonville and our great downtown improvement office really plunged in, and with this private group of citizens invented the Love Hendo program. So this was really a partnership of the stores and the restaurants and people that wanted to help the town, the Chamber of Commerce, to participate in Love Hendo. That's when they came out with the orange barricades. They're still there for curbside pickup. Did a lot of communications. They did a lot of promotion of it. And it really helped raise the profile of the need and what was still out there and what was still open and how it would all work. There was a lot of attention on the public health side of it, on wearing of masks, on cleaning of stores and store handles, and obviously compliance by restaurants and so forth. So that won a Main Street Award, I think this past week or so, in a new category. You won't be surprised to learn called Best Economic Recovery Initiative. So the town of Belmont, outside of Charlotte, won one for Keep the Lights On in Belmont. We won one for Love Hendo Downtown Hendersonville COVID-19 Response Plan. Morganton had one that was a winner called COVID-19 Small Business Recovery Strategy, and Mount Airy won for one called Market Street Arts and Entertainment District, and we won one more award. So it looks like there was maybe, I'd say, less than a dozen awards for the state of North Carolina. We won two of them.
Wow. Wow. And very well deserved, I think.
And the other one is the adaptive reuse of the historic Gray Hosiery Mill to the Gray Mill Apartments, and that won in the best adaptive reuse project.
All right. Bill, let's touch on a couple of more stories here very quick before we finish with our Lightning Radio this morning. And next week, I believe it is, the school board has okayed back to school for all. Apparently, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train, right?
We hope it's not an oncoming train,
yeah.
But light at the end of the tunnel to get your regular school clothes on. You can't go to school in your jammies anymore. You're going to have to go to school back to for real. That's just coming up this coming Tuesday under Plan A. All students will attend school in person following their school's, quote, regular barrel schedule and standard bus transportation schedules. There'll be breakfast and lunch, but there will still be as much social distancing as everybody can manage and a lot of attention to all the public health requirements.
Yeah, and of course, all of our the teachers were vaccinated, and so Henderson County Public Schools is prepared for back to school. Hard to believe we're talking about it just a year ago. A year ago, this all came to pass, and here we are a year later going back to school. Bill, let's talk about one more thing real quick. A very a thick section in the Hendersonville Lightning this week, and that is the delinquent taxes.
Yeah, get your 24 pages to be exact.
Yeah,
of delinquent tax notices. Check, make sure you're not in there. If you want to be nosy, this is your opportunity to check all your friends and neighbors and businesses that you may want to check on, see if they're in there. A lot of people like to, that's the kind of public record or news that people like to consume. They spend a lot of time looking over all the names. They're alphabetical. It's all alphabetical if you need to look something up. And that's a good service, and it helps the county collect taxes because people don't like to have their name or their business name published in the local newspaper for all to see.
Of course. Absolutely. All right, Bill, the Lightning is on the streets. It's in your mailboxes. Tell people how they can get a copy of this week's Hendersonville Lightning to get all the news that is the news here in Henderson County.
Well, grab your kayak or canoe or other mode of water transportation during the upcoming flood and visit any of the 60 Lightning news racks all around the county or dealer partners such as Publix grocery store and coffee shops and convenience stores, or go, as many, many people do, especially in weather conditions like this, to HendersonvilleLightning.com. And that will walk you through subscribe and how to join, which will help you join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Mark, in partnership with the great WTZQ community radio station that get their Lightning today on Lightning Thursday, or also Easy as Pie by calling Jan at 828-698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.